Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again.
Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
They're a couple who kills. Alex is going to tell us about David and Catherine Burney, who are two of Australia's most notorious serial killers. They were sexual sadists with a thirst for blood. It's a brutal story, but Alex says it does come with a happy ending, so bear with us. And the reason, by the way, that we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers right here in central Indiana. They let you give anonymous tips. How do you do that? Call this number, 317-262-TIPS. All right, Alex, let's go down under.
David John Burney is born to a messed up family just east of Perth, Australia in 1951. To say that his family is dysfunctional is an understatement. His parents are drunks and apparently there is loads of incest going on.
Oh, that sounds fun.
When David's parents got married, the local pastor straight up told them no because he knew how messed up they were and he didn't want any part of it. The house David lives in growing up is filthy and his parents never even cook for him and his siblings. In the early 1960s, David's family decides to move to another Perth suburb. And that's when David meets a younger girl named Catherine. She's 12 and he's 15. Catherine grew up bouncing around between her dad and grandma because her mom died when she was two. Around the time that she meets David, she's already constantly getting in trouble with police. Her dad tells her he doesn't want her dating David, but that only makes their relationship stronger. She ends up going in and out of jail during her teenage years, and while she's doing that, David discovers that he's addicted to pornography and he's a paraphiliac, which according to the dictionary is the experience of intense sexual arousal to atypical objects, situations, fantasies, behaviors, or individuals.
So does that mean like, man, that butter really gets me going?
It could, I'm pretty sure, yes.
Butter.
Can't believe it's not butter. Both David and Catherine are in and out of prison for years for various crimes, and then they marry other people. But when they're both in their early 20s, they leave their spouses to be with each other. Immediately, they start planning out six sexual fantasies involving rape and murder. This is the start of a five-week period where the Burneys abduct five women, ages 15 to 31. All of the victims are murdered and sexually assaulted except one. And trust me, this is wild from start to finish. The first victim is 22-year-old psychology student Mary Nielsen. She meets David at a spare car part place that he works at, and she's looking for some cheap tires for her car. So David gives her his phone number and tells her to come to his house. So on October 6th, 1986, Mary goes to the Burney's house looking for these tires that David says that he has for her. When she gets there, David gags her, chains her to the bed, and sexually assaults her as Catherine watches. They take her to a national park where Mary begs for her life before she's sexually assaulted again, and then David strangles her with a nylon cord. After she drops dead at David's feet, he stabs her multiple times because he says that he read in a book somewhere that it speeds up decomp. Mary would have received her degree for psychology from the university 1 year after her murder. 2 weeks after the Burneys kill Mary Nielsen, they abduct 15-year-old Savannah Candy. Savannah's actually the daughter of one of Australia's best eye surgeons, which is really interesting. He's like super well known.
Okay.
And she's hitchhiking along the highway when the Burneys spot her on the side of the road. They have been driving around for hours looking for a victim, and it just happened to be Savannah's unlucky day. As soon as she gets into the car, a knife is pushed to her throat, and the Burneys drive her back to their house where she's gagged, bound, and sexually assaulted just like Mary. When David is finished assaulting Savannah, Catherine gets into bed with them because she knows that this is a turn-on for David. Afterwards, David tries to strangle Savannah, but Savannah is a fighter, and they can't do it. They grab sleeping pills instead and force them down her throat. When Savannah passes out, David looks at Catherine and hands her a cord. He tells her to prove her undying love to him. Catherine kills 15-year-old Savannah Candy. David watches. And later, when asked about Savannah, Catherine says, "I wanted to see how strong I was within my inner self. I didn't feel a thing. It was like I expected. I was prepared to follow him to the end of the earth and do anything to see that his desires were satisfied." She was a female. Females hurt and destroy males. Savannah is buried in the national park next to Mary. A few weeks later, the Burneys see 31-year-old Nolene Patterson standing on the side of the highway with her car. She had run out of gas on her way home from her job as a bar manager. As soon as she gets into the car, a knife is held to her throat and she suffers the same fate at the Burneys' house as the last two girls. After this time, though, David seems to develop an attachment for Nolene. He keeps her alive in the house for 3 days. Catherine becomes jealous fast and tells him it's her or me. She says that if David doesn't kill Nolene, that she's going to kill herself. David immediately forces sleeping pills down Nolene's throat and strangles her while she sleeps. They take her body to the forest, but bury it away from the others. After she's buried, Catherine takes a handful of sand and throws it in Nolene's lifeless face. She says it gives her a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. On November 5th, the Burnies abduct 21-year-old Denise Brown as she's waiting for her bus. She's sexually assaulted multiple times and then murdered just like the others. After David puts her in her grave in the seclusion of the forest, she sits up in her grave.
What?
David Burney grabs an axe, strikes her twice at full force on the skull, psh, psh, and buries her. The last victim of the Burnies is 17-year-old Kate Moore, but she comes up with a plan once she's inside the Burnies' house and outsmarts both of them. David and Catherine Burney are on a sadistic 5-week killing spree in Perth, Australia, when they come across 17-year-old Kate Moore, who needs a ride. After holding her at knife point, Kate asks the Burnies if they're planning on assaulting or killing her. Catherine Burney looks her dead in the eyes and says, "We'll only rape you if you're good." When they get to the Burney's house, David forces Kate to call her mom while holding a knife to her throat. Kate doesn't drink. She's only 17, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So she tells her mom on the phone that she's had too much to drink, and that's why she needs to stay at a friend's house. She decides to say this because she's hoping her mom picks up on this lie and knows that something is wrong since she's not a drinker. So smart. This is one of the biggest reasons that I chose this story to do today, because what I love about Kate's survival story at the end of this crazy killing spree is the things that she does are just so incredibly intelligent, especially for a 17-year-old. And I think that these are really helpful tips if you ever find yourself in this situation. So she tells her mom that she's been drinking, thinking like her mom's obviously going to know something's up. So David forces Kate to dance for him and Catherine. He handcuffs her to him all night while they're sleeping in bed together. And the next morning, there's a knock on the door. Catherine gets up. It's someone at the house to buy drugs. But when Catherine gets up, she forgets to chain Kate back to the bed.
Uh-oh.
Kate runs to a locked window and tries to force open the lock. It opens. She crawls through and escapes. But on her way down, she hits her head on the concrete. She manages to get up and starts running to neighbors' houses. She's knocking on doors, wearing nothing but black leggings, a bra, and underwear. But no one is answering. Before giving up hope, though, she comes to a vacuum cleaner shop and tells the owner what happened. He calls the police, and when police arrive, they're skeptical about her story. They aren't sure they believe something so crazy. But here's what makes 17-year-old Kate a freaking badass superhero. While she was in the Burney's house, she figured out not only their address and telephone number to tell police somehow. She memorized things that were hanging on the walls and says they have a Rocky movie on VHS tape. Things that you wouldn't think matter, but when you're describing the place that you had just been held captive and sexually assaulted, it does matter. In the best part, Kate drew a little picture and hid it in the house so that when police would go there and see it, they would know that she was telling the truth. There was a 22-year-old female constable. She's not fully a police officer. She's like a peace officer. For like small towns, they usually have those. And she was on the scene at the vacuum shop interviewing Kate.
Okay.
And she believes everything Kate is saying. And she tells the other police officers that they have to go to the house and look for this drawing. Police go and they find the picture that Kate drew in the Burney's house and the Rocky tape. Everything that Kate had said about their house happened and was true. David says that Kate came to their house consensually for sex, and Catherine says she's never even seen her before. But a detective gets David to confess to everything and even show him where the other four girls' bodies are buried. David Burney pleads guilty to 4 counts of murder and 1 count of abduction and rape. When asked why he had pled guilty, he gestured toward the victims' families in court and said, "It's the least I could do." He was sentenced to 4 terms of life imprisonment. After being found sane enough to stand trial, Catherine Burney was also sentenced to 4 terms of life imprisonment. While incarcerated, the Burneys exchanged more than 2,600 letters to each other, but they were not allowed any other form of contact. David Burney was found dead in his cell in October 2005 at 4:30 a.m. He was 54 years old. He had hanged himself from an air vent using a length of cord. Catherine was not allowed to attend his funeral. Since being incarcerated, you're never going to believe this, Catherine has worked as a prison librarian and appeared in a prison production of the musical Nonsense. Now, is this a Australia thing that they do musicals in prison? What the heck? That is like the funniest thing to me ever and the weirdest. So she was in Nonsense, and that's pretty much where we are. Now, they both, like I said, were married to other people before they married each other, and each of them had had kids. And I know that one of their kids, I can't remember whose kid it is, but they had said that they are not having kids on purpose because they are so scared that it's going to have their parents' DNA and like be crazy
that.
So they are married now. Yeah, so one of their kids is married now, but has come out to the public and said, like, I will not be having kids because it's my biggest fear that they're going to turn out like my parents. So super disturbing stuff. I know that, I think it was, they had tons of kids together between their two previous marriages, and the one that said that I think was the youngest, that they were 10 years old at the time of their parents' arrest.
That's just an incredible story right there, Alex, for Murder Monday, because there's not that often that we hear survival stories. Sure, there were victims, but to think that way under pressure, I mean, no offense to you, but I think, like, God forbid somebody did, like, kidnap you, do you think you would be able to quit panicking and freaking out and think to do that?
I think I would freak out at first, but then I think I would be okay, only because I'm so obsessed with stories like this, and I have like banked in my memory so many details about how people survive these situations. And again, I've talked about this on the show before when I talked about survival stories, but you have got to look up on YouTube or in like the Lifetime app. You need to watch the show I Survived. It isn't on TV anymore, but it's all these episodes detailing how people survive crazy things like this, either serial killer attempts, attempted murder, or it's like, you know, wilderness survival stories and stuff. But it's a fantastic show if you like stories like this.
That is Murder Monday here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.